Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked Sandra to join me this week, and we are going to discuss Where's the Logic? Sandra Myers, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always good to be here.
These programs are always so much fun to do.
They are.
Because we have lost logic. I mean, seriously. I've done what? Where are we at in society?
Uh-huh.
Because we have gone so crazy.
If you'd asked me even as much as 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, that things would have flipped around so backwards in thinking like they are today. Everything is backwards. I understand better why the Bible talks about calling good evil and evil good. That's what's happened. That's what we're living.
And it's very depressing when you think about how far we've fallen. We have just, as the old saying goes in TV, we have jumped the shark. You know where that came from?
No.
Back when Happy Days was rated number one TV show, sitcom, blah, 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 with the Fonz. When Fonzie went to California and jumped on skis over the sharks, that was the end of Happy Days. The ratings tanked after that.
Huh.
And so that's the phrase, jump the shark.
Okay.
Yep. So America has jumped the shark.
And the ratings have tanked ever since.
That they have. You know, one thing that hasn't tanked is the generous support that our friends have donated to the ministry and the children's home. And we just finished up with the Texas Children's Home this week.
Right. We did 117 packages, and this includes children, moms, boys out at the boys' ranch and their house parents, 117. You, me, and your lovely wife, Leslie, were here packing gift bags with candy and gift cards and Christmas cards and Bibles. We give Bibles to all of the people who are new at the children's home, as well as the other places called Miracle Farm. And the boys work with horses as well as their normal studies and everything. We we worked our tails off, didn't we, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
On top of being right in the midst of newsletter deadline, too. And so all the people that are new at either location, we make sure that they get a Bible. If they have young children there, they get also a children's Bible so that they can bring their children up on the stories of the Bible. You know, we told you for years, and Tex said this too, and it's always been true, and we're continuing this on today, that, you know, we've always told you that we don't take any administrative costs. This is still true today. And even more so, the ministry is what pays for the Bibles, the candy, the gift bags, the time to put all this together. Your generous donations go to the gift cards that go in their bags. And it's neat to read the thank you letters. Pretty much all the children and moms and house parents all send thank you letters. Boy, I tell you, the stories that they've told. Sometimes they're giving away their gift card to another family member or friend that needs it worse than they do. Sometimes they're buying a jacket. And yes, sometimes they're buying toys or what have you. But some of the stories that have come through, you know, as you like to say, those darn onions.
Onions get me every time.
Yep. So it's really neat to be able to continue to do this every year. How long we've been doing this, Jerry?
I can't remember when we started. It's been 25 years, 30 years. I don't know when Wanda started this.
I think I was gone for 2 years to Colorado right after I got married, and I think y'all started it then, so it would have been in the late 90s. So, yeah, 25 years at least.
At least. It's big, and it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue thanks to y'all's generosity. Sandra said it right. We don't take anything administratively from it. You know, Sandra and I both donate our time, and we donate
our money
to it as well. And because it's a noble cause, it's a very good cause, because these children, especially at the children's home in Round Rock, they're homeless. The mothers are from abusive relationships, or the husband left them and left them homeless, or the husband or the boyfriend, whatever you want to call him, knocked them up and then ran off.
Right.
And they've got nothing. So this is a very worthwhile cause. They're raised up in this Christian setting,
mm-hmm.
which is why we donate Bibles. And for the young ones, we give children's Bibles.
Right.
And thanks to you. Now, you all know, or you should know, unless you're a new listener, we are not 501c3. The reason we can talk about Fauci and the heinous crimes that he should be convicted of, or abortion or homosexuality, is because we're not controlled by the government.
Right. Tex found that out. They pressured him to try to change what he was teaching and talking about, including abortion, because it is accepted public normal. What word am I looking for?
It's governmental policy.
It's governmental policy. And because it's governmental policy, if you're 501c3, they can come down on you and tell you that you can't talk about this stuff if they choose to. And they did with Tex. They tried to pressure him into shutting up.
And they audited him for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS and the FBI came in and said, "What gives you the authority to speak on the topics you speak on?" I love when Tex told this story. It's right here. What? And Tex said, "It's in the Bible. Here, let me show you." And no, I don't need you to start preaching to me. I don't need you to tell me anything that's in the Bible. You know, so it's kind of funny that, you know, Tex found out the hard way, but he opened up a lot of eyes. And I think there were some FBI agents that came in and talked to Tex that found out that he was an honest-to-God, really solid Christian.
Right.
And they became friends of Tex's and the ministry.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
So.
And Tex, you know, their policy, Tex and Wanda's policy, and it's true for us, too, is they don't take liberties with the tax code anyway. You know, Tex could have written off a parsonage cost or travel cost. He didn't write any of that stuff off. It was his calling. It wasn't about tax write-offs. And this is one of the reasons why our friends give to us, too, is it's not about tax write-offs. They know that they're serving the Lord by doing this.
And I constantly get people that will call in and say, "Jerry, thank you for your programs. Thank you for your newsletter. You and Sandra are doing a great job. And we need to get the word out there." And mm-hmm. So thank you. And honestly, thank you. Because of your generosity, we're able to keep the lights on. We pay our bills on time. We don't owe anybody anything.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
For your generosity and support of this ministry, and especially your prayers.
Yes.
Because without those, we're an empty vessel. We'll keep going as long as you guys will keep supporting us, and we appreciate you.
As long as the Lord says, until he says otherwise, we'll be here.
Sadly, I don't have a Learjet. Do you?
No, I don't have a Learjet or a BMW or Porsche or nothing fancy. I got a full tummy when I choose, and my house is warm and dry, and my car gets me to work every day, and
that's it.
I am so blessed.
We are tremendously blessed. And you know, I've said this before. You've heard me on the radio show say this. Tex never said, "You need to send me $100 and you'll be blessed 100 times over." like some of these name it, claim it, prosperity gospel
people, yeah.
Tex would say, pay your bills, put food on your table, pay your electricity, your mortgage, or your rent, and if you had anything left over and the Lord put it on your heart to send it, then we'll take whatever you can send us, whether it's a dollar, whether it's $5 or $5,000, dependent upon you taking care of you first.
Right.
And it's always been that way, and it will continue to be that way. And I know I'm beating a dead horse, but thank you. Sandra?
Yes, Jerry?
Now that we killed 10 minutes, let's get into this. Where's the logic?
Because we didn't kill it. I mean, it's. I think people want to hear how we're doing and appreciate our thanks. But on with where's the logic?
Where's the logic? We're up to volume 3. And like I said, I love doing these. These are so much fun. And the first item on your agenda is, and when I read this, it reminded me of the oil and gas industry. You know who funded Sierra Club and all of the environmental wackos?
No, Jerry, who?
It was the oil and gas companies.
No.
Yep. So now you've got on here real meat versus fake meat. And who's bankrolling this veganism?
Well, oddly enough, places like Tyson Foods, the biggest poultry producer, they're one of them. ConAgra, just so many. All these big beef and poultry companies are funding. Are they funding their own demise? No. It's about gaining dollars. It's always about feeding the bottom line financially. So that's why it's easy to hedge your bets, you might say. Here's kind of the funny thing. You know, in Brave New World by Huxley, what did they eat there? At a party for the world's alphas, the guests are offered a carotene sandwich, a slice of vitamin A pate, and a glass of champagne surrogate.
Yum.
Fake foods. Huxley wrote about this back in the 30s, 1932.
Huh.
How could he have known? The proles, though, they get the beef surrogate. So I guess if you're eating the Beyond Beef stuff, you're a prole. I love this. Look at the ingredient list. Okay. You go not to McDonald's, but you make yourself a hamburger at home. If you can, it's better to get your grass-fed beef, especially if it's grass-finished also, not grain-finished. But, okay, so you have this hamburger sitting there on your plate. What's the ingredient list? Cow, bull, whatever, beef. There's your ingredient list. So you go to Beyond Burger. I'm not sure we have enough time for the ingredient list.
Oh, my.
It's water, pea protein isolate, canola oil, refined coconut oil. And we know about canola oil. We've talked about that in programs past. It's rapeseed oil. Okay, so refined coconut oil. Coconut oil by itself wouldn't be so bad, but then they refine it and turn it into like Frankenstein stuff. It's highly processed. So cellulose from bamboo, because they want to fill the gap in your stomach that makes you believe you've actually eaten something. Methyl cellulose, more filler. Potato starch, natural flavor. Jerry, I don't know about you, but they cannot put enough natural flavor in that stuff to taste like a real hamburger.
I'm not a koala, so I'm not eating bamboo or whatever. Who else eats bamboo? Goodness gracious.
No, they eat, don't they eat eucalyptus leaves anyway?
That's what koalas do, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. There's something that eats bamboo, and it ain't me.
Nope. I think that's pandas.
Okay. You're right.
Anyway, maltodextrin, yeast extract, salt, sunflower oil, vegetable glycerin, that's so that the moisture will kind of stay in there some, dried yeast, gum arabic, citrus extract, ascorbic acid, beet juice extract so that it actually looks red, acetic acid, succinic acid, modified food starch, and annatto, That's the food coloring that makes your cheese look yellow. So I guess between the beet extract and the annatto, they think they can get a nice little pink out of it and make it look like a real burger. Are you hungry yet?
Yuck.
But let's talk about all those ingredients. Those have to be created. So they think that creating all those ingredients and the farming of all the stuff that has to go in there, the peas and the coconut oil and the bamboo and everything, that has to be agriculturally farmed. And you know that they're doing that stuff. Some of these Beyond Foods, Beyond Meats also have soy in there, corn, different things like that, depending upon what you're eating. So what they have to do, though, is farm, and this is high industrial farming, in order to create all these things. So you've got all that fossil fuel that fuels those tractors and those machines to do all this. Not only that, but you also need, I'm going to guess the Terminator seeded type, the GMO type stuff. Though some of these might tell you that they don't have GMOs in there, but you know that they're still going to be developed enough to resist disease and stuff. But diseases they will get, and pests they will have. So you have to have the insecticide. Can you say Roundup? They have to have the insecticide. They have to have the high nitrogen fertilizers. This has caused so much nitrogen pollution in like the Netherlands. The Netherlands are kind of one of the leading edges to creating the Beyond Meat industry. That's where it's kind of like the foundational area for all the scientific research, for all the farming. And the Netherlands has horrible nitrogen poisoning, or I should say nitrogen pollution, not poisoning. It's probably poisoning anyway.
Oh, sure.
That might have been a Freudian slip. So you've got all of this stuff that goes on in order to make one Beyond Beef burger when the cows can eat grass and they holler about the methane. Oh, just the other day there was a new headline that I saw out. You know what else is causing climate warming? Me and you were breathing. This was a real headline. How do we, well, we know how to stop that. When we get to the euthanization article coming up in the January issue that I wrote, it's, I left one thing out of there. And think about this when you're reading it. The snowflakes that are upset, they also will be potentially so upset, maybe they'll be offered a euthanization package since they're like, you remember when Donald Trump got in office? How these people were, so that one picture of the person with the glasses and the beanie on their head just raging at the sky because Trump had been elected. That person would have probably signed up to be euthanized.
Yeah, especially since none of them left the country.
Like they promised they would.
Like Barbra Streisand, Rob Reiner. The list goes on.
Right. There's a Dutch university town of, oh, I'm sorry, I should have picked a different town because I can't pronounce this. Wageningen, sorry, not too far from Amsterdam, so we'll just say that it's outside of Amsterdam. That works. So it's called the Food Valley area. And I told you that these people were leading the charge in the plant-based meat industry. They had their sustainable protein system, also known as alt proteins.
You know, before too long, Soylent Green will become prophetic.
Oh, gosh. Yes, very much so. Yeah, right. And isn't it, on a side note, doesn't it crack you up that there is currently a product named Soylent?
Yeah.
What are these people thinking? Well, they must be appealing to the young who have never seen the movie, because otherwise they would never be able to market it under Soylent.
Well, they've been, the children are so brainwashed, the youth, I say children, but the youth, they believe that by our breathing, we're killing the planet. when in actuality, it's part of God's ecosystem.
No.
I don't understand. Where's the logic? Thank you.
I was just going to say that. Where's the logic?
Because the Earth, NASA has taken satellite images and shows that the Earth is more green than it's ever been. So humans put off carbon dioxide.
And the plants need carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide with sun, and it's a thing called photosynthesis. And what do the plants put off? But oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason the planet's green. It's because we're breathing.
Yes. But apparently, according to the latest headlines, they want to do something about that too, because apparently cow farts are only a small part of the problem.
True.
But some of these companies that are doing this, Kraft, Heinz, I think they're part of the same company now, Nestle, Cargill, Kikkoman, you know that soy sauce that you like, or that they serve in Chinese restaurants anyway. DuPont, that's no surprise. That's just some of the big ones that are funding this big food valley area outside of Amsterdam.
I'm sure Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation has
forked over
tons of money.
Yes, to help fund that because I thought he was more for eating insects.
Well, he's pushing eating bugs. He's pushing the meat substitutes because we got to reduce the cow population because of methane gas emanations or putting another hole in the ozone maybe. I don't know. It's idiotic is what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Of course, Monsanto, which was bought out by Bayer, you know, with all of the Roundup and everything that they're making billions on this too. Here's the deal on this though. You know, we were talking about Bill Gates and bugs. I think why he wants people to eat bugs is because that's going to be for the proles, the little people like you and me. Because these plant-based meats, they are not possible, or they're not making it down to the people that are hungry. So if you're poor, you don't have the money for these fancy schmancy plant-based meats. They're certainly not making it over into third world areas in the continents where the people are severely malnourished, Africa being one of them, places, you know, south of the border too. It's not making it there. So it's not really about feeding the world. It's about trying to force people off of real food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could go on and on. I mean, and it's stripping the super industrial agricultural is also stripping forests and other green and open places because it takes so many ingredients in order to make a Beyond Burger. That's a lot of industrial farming. They talk, at least cows live in kind of like a synchronicity, you might say, with nature. You know, their little pooties help feed the prairie grasses and God waters all that together. So, you know, it's kind of its own little eco-cycle. Mm-hmm. But they say that's bad.
Yeah, there's no logic. They have lost. They've jumped the shark, Sandra. There is no logic. It is completely illogical for them to be pushing this fake meat on people.
Yep.
And I always tell people, look, if you're into vegetarianism or veganism, I am making sure that the plants are safe for you to have something to eat. Because I will eat some beef or chicken or pork or venison or rabbit.
Fish.
I love me some fish, too.
Uh-huh.
There ain't nothing wrong with it.
And then the question is, where's the nutrients in this?
That's the problem. You see all of these vegans that are in fitness and they're doing mountain climbing and they're dying because there's not enough protein in their diet.
Uh-huh. You have to really work at getting the balanced proteins, the balanced amino acids that you need to have to keep your muscles working. And I'm sure that all of those vegans that are listening, there's probably not any. But if there were, they'd be writing us and telling us, oh, no, it's very easy. Anyway.
Yep, they're probably the same ones taking the jab.
At the very least.
Goodness.
And the bonus jab and the bonus jab and the bonus jab.
I've had 5 boosters. I'm fine. You know.
Yep.
Fake food. Not happening. You know, I get perfectly balanced proteins and amino acids and all of that in a big old juicy T-bone.
Or just a hamburger.
I like a good old T-bone.
Well, but I like it. Well, like you gave a list of all the fabulous protein. I love it all.
Yeah.
But I also love me some vegetables, Jerry.
Ew.
Don't make that face.
Ew.
It's not going to hurt.
I like taters. Love me some grits. That's corn. It's a starch. But
the closest thing you get to a vegetable or a fruit is salsa and maybe a blueberry muffin.
Oh, I love blueberry muffins, blueberry cobbler, blackberry cobbler. Yep.
Ah, yes. Yeah. But that's not enough ingredients, apparently. We have to engineer all of that stuff. And
you know, that's why this program is so much fun. Where's the logic? Because it's completely illogical for them to take on a hoax as ginormous as climate change is. Because the Bible tells us there will be seasons until he returns. So, and that's a paraphrase, but the fact that these Mother Earth worshipers are pushing this hoax down our throats and they indoctrinate the children. I remember when Earth Day came about in the 70s. And all of a sudden, Mother Earth became the number one topic we had to protect. And, you know, I know that we were not good stewards with what God had given us. We trashed the place. We were like a bunch of illegal aliens coming across, just throwing trash, or homeless people, throwing trash everywhere and not being a good steward, taking care of everything that we have, that
right.
we've been blessed with. And especially in America, it is the land of plenty.
Some of that poor stewardship, though, comes from these big corporations who go into a place. Detroit was one of the problem areas with their water problems and a number of other places. Same thing. There's a copper mine out west where everything around it is completely destroyed.
General Mills, when they put their plant on the river. The Ohio River caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the industrial pollution that they were putting out there.
And it's all about the dollar in that particular case. And they don't care. They figure it's easier to pay the fines later and ask forgiveness than to do it right the first time. And to be, it's one thing to make money. Yes, you need to feed your family and it's nice that you can afford your Cadillac or whatever. But to just do it without any thought to what you're doing. I'm going to say something here that's going to make some people mad.
Okay.
Fracking. That is one of the things. Now, you have people that are in the oil industry that will disagree with me vehemently, hotly, over this. But fracking does affect. I know several people up in Colorado where they've come out close, not real close to their farms and ranches, but it has destroyed their water systems. And has, oh, well, but the water is still safe to drink. It has totally destroyed the flavor of it because it has created fissures in the land. That's, I personally believe, is that they're not doing enough due diligence in what the fracking is causing. And there's plenty enough oil without actually having to frack.
I agree. Well, Sandra, we have flown through 30 minutes. We're going to have to take a brief pause. My guest today is Sandra Myers. We're covering Where's the Logic? You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. Newspaper headlines will scream, "Nothing to eat." Hungry mobs panic and riot. Are we, in fact, about to suffer disastrous food shortages? Will an angry and desperate people strike back in rage, giving a corrupt government the pretext to set up a frightening police state? Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos reveals the horrifying truth about a monumental plot to starve Americans and the people of the world into submission. The coming great hunger will come upon us suddenly, at an instant, astonishing all with its ferocity and total devastation. The book of Revelation warns of deadly famine and pestilence that will overtake the world in the last days. We now face the ominous reality of mass suffering and death. It will be hell on earth, a fierce and brutal time of utter misery and despair. In this stunning investigative report, Tex Mars reveals how these incredible prophecies are quickly coming to pass. Here are just some of the probing questions this groundbreaking book answers in its investigation into the coming great food crisis. Does the Rockefeller Foundation control the seeds of 95% of the Earth's major cereal crops of wheat, barley, and corn? Is there a global seed conspiracy to place total ownership of the world's seeds and ultimately the survival of mankind itself in the hands of an elite cartel of multinational corporations? Why are spy satellites being used to monitor and control the crop production of farmers? Will the United Nations Biodiversity Treaty force farmers and small property owners to abandon their homes and lands and resettle in approved government metro areas? What top secret government projects are designed to use weather, viruses, bacterial pestilences, and other scientific tools to manipulate and diminish the Earth's food crops? Are the police powers of the federal government being used to taunt, harass, intimidate, frighten, impoverish, imprison, and sometimes kill farmers, ranchers, and small landowners who oppose the takeover of our food supply? Are pre-planned and contrived food shortages on the way, with small farmers being purposely driven out of business? Will a starving and desperate American populace be left begging for federal government saviors to solve the crisis? Hungry people will make good slaves. You will read all of this and find out so much more in Tex Mars' outstanding book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, The Coming Great Food Shortages in America. It is a 238-page book that was $20, but right now we're offering it for $10. You get a 50% discount right off the bat. How's that? Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $16. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart as well. Just go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Days of Hunger right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it coming to you. If you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $16 postpaid for Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. If you don't have a copy in your library, you need to get one now.
Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Sandra Meyer. Sandra, welcome back.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to be here.
Now, you got some little quips from a friend of the ministry, Mr. Pat Shannon. He's been a guest on here and spoke at our Liberty and Truth Conference, and Pat is a hoot.
He is, and he forwarded these on to me, but they fit right in with Where's the Logic? And some of these are sad, some of these are chuckle-worthy, but the first one that's really sad is, why is it that so many people are outraged that Brittany Griner was stuck in Russia than they were about the Americans being stranded in Afghanistan? Didn't care that those Americans were stranded in Afghanistan when they were doing all the pullouts just overnight. I always like to ask questions about things like that. You know, what causes that to happen? Just suddenly overnight he decided to pull out. I don't have any answers for you, but I like to ask questions when I see things. Here's another one I don't have an answer to. It really doesn't fit with, well, where's the logic, but I'm questioning this. They had that, the volcano in the storm and explosion in Seychelles. Okay? That plant that blew up due to a storm. I kind of wonder what was there at that plant. Because they've had other storms before. But suddenly this one blew up. Why? What was there that's not there anymore?
Yeah.
Anyway, I like to ask questions like that. And again, I have zero answers. But might be interesting to take a look at it because it's such a tiny little island country that it's really easy to tuck something away for nobody to see.
How many biolabs were in Ukraine that we had no clue about?
That's the truth. Okay, here's another one. If kids knew what they wanted to be at age 8, this is kind of talking about the sexual change surgery that they're thinking that children should be allowed to have. If kids knew what they wanted to be at age 8, the world would be filled with cowboys and princesses. I wanted to be a pirate. This is what was sent. Thank goodness nobody took me seriously and scheduled me for eye removal and peg leg surgery. I think Bill Maher said that, which makes sense. Here's another one. Why were we told to lower our AC usage on the hot days to prevent overwhelming the electric grid? We've been through that here in Texas. They went through it in California. They got brownouts and everything. But yet we're all being told to trade our gas cars in for electric cars for a grid that can't support our houses.
Yep, that's one thing that engineers, especially electrical engineers, have come out and said, we do not have a base strong enough to charge every electric vehicle to replace every gasoline-powered car. I mean, California, Newsom came out and said, hey, you can't charge your car because we're having power outages. Where's the logic in that?
Where's the logic?
It has left the building. Elvis may be here, but the logic
has left the building. We're living in a time when intelligent people are silenced so that stupid people won't be offended.
True that.
And there's a lot of stupid people, apparently. Last one of the short ones. The most powerful governments on Earth can't stop a virus from spreading, but they say they can change Earth's temperature if you pay more taxes.
Everything comes down to money, doesn't it?
It does.
It's just a money grab. Speaking of money grabs, what is going on with the universities and colleges like Harvard, Yale, and there's a bunch more?
A bunch more. It's the ones that have spoken out in support of any of the Palestinian side of this current action going on between Israel and the Palestinians. The colleges that have spoken out and not apologized promptly, of course, their presidents are being pressured to resign. But at Harvard, according to Bill Ackman's figures, he figures that Harvard is going to be losing $1 billion, that's with the B as in boy, $1 billion over them not backing down on questioning the Palestinian-Israel conflict. If you don't toe the line for Israel, a lot of the alumni are talking about pulling their money or even asking for their money back. Now, $1 billion is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. Now, we know that that money makes the world go round, they say. So how can Harvard afford to lose $1 billion and not fall right in line like they're supposed to, like they're expected to, you know, snap, snap, snap,
mm-hmm.
fall in line here and toe the party line in what you're supposed to say and support? Because, you know, the current common phrase once again is, I stand with Israel. Well, if they're not standing with Israel, then they're being threatened with that. So Ackman, who is, of course, himself a Jew, is threatening to pull his money, or has probably pulled his money. And he's a billionaire, so he's got the money with which to threaten. And he is receiving a lot of emails from other people that stand with Israel, that are CCing him or blind CCing him in their emails where they're threatening Harvard also. So with all of these emails that he's received, he feels like Harvard's probably on the verge of losing $1 billion. So how can Harvard afford to lose that? Well, most universities, including Harvard, receive money from a lot of places. Your tuition that little Sally pays to go to Harvard doesn't cover the bills.
No.
Not by any means. So they rely on alumni donations. But they not only rely on alumni donations. You have places like Russia, China, the Middle East, like Qatar, supporting, funding these universities also. Now, it's kind of interesting when you think about China, because how do you pronounce the name of that phone company, that electronics company, Huawei, that's real big on the 5G? They have funded a lot of universities for multi millions and billions of dollars.
Who funded Joe Biden at UPenn? It was the commies.
Uh-huh. So you've got all this money. So a lot of these places are Saudi Arabia, the UAE, United Arab Emirates are doing this. And the funny thing about Qatar over there is they are funneling so much money into universities such as Harvard that it kind of doesn't make sense for what their gross domestic product, their GDP. They don't really have as much as that. So actually, they're probably just being a funnel source so that places like possibly Iran, other places like that, are funneling money to the universities through a clean source. They're basically money laundering.
Right.
So, but you've got a lot of people that are, or that is countries that are funding, that do not have our best interest at heart. And so you can just picture it. So I'm making this up. Don't quote this. But let's say Qatar says, okay, well, you're losing funding over here. Well, we're going to give you more to make up for this because you're standing for what they might call the truth or Palestinian. So they're not towing the Israel line. And it can be happening also with China. With China's money, all they have to do is invest more in their science projects we'll call them, and research. It wasn't until recently that the foreign funding has started to be followed. In about 2020 is when there was an article in U.S. News, billions in foreign aid to colleges and universities goes undetected. Well, the universities are actually supposed to report all of this, but it's been one of those laws, kind of like prosecuting crime nowadays, where they just ignore the laws that are on the books, and the prosecutors don't go after them or anything. Well, there's finally been a little bit of a clampdown. So when you look and see, it says colleges and universities failed to disclose more than $6.5 billion, with a B, in funding from foreign countries, including China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar. The threat of improper foreign influence in higher education is real. You think? The portal has recorded more than 7,000 transactions totaling roughly $3.8 billion in the four months that it's been available. According to department officials, about 60 of the colleges and universities that filed through the portal had not submitted any reports between 1986 and June 2020, like they were supposed to. So imagine how much money they have received. Some of the most concerning revelations that has come from the newly started again reporting has been that the schools are receiving funds from Huawei, the Chinese technology giant, and they're contributing to nuclear science. What could go wrong with China contributing to that? Robotics, online cloud services. I don't store anything in the cloud. I don't know about you, Jerry. I don't want my stuff up there floating around. Not that my stuff is going to be important, but it can be used, you know, to access my finances. You know, all that money that I have.
Or lack thereof. Right.
Anyway, so Sweden got wise and banned Huawei from doing their 5G networks, I guess, in Sweden. So UK did the same thing. Sponsorship. You remember that security software for your computer called Kaspersky?
Yeah, it's Russian.
Yes, it's Russian. Yeah, they like to give money to the universities too. And then you have oil that also funds universities. Exxon in the classroom. That's an article that was written earlier this year. Exxon puts teachers in their classrooms, professors, you might say, in the classrooms in order to promote fossil fuels and that technology and stuff. And it's not that the subject shouldn't be studied, but it's being paid for somebody by somebody with a purpose. You can imagine that the oil companies are going to be picking up too to help cover that $1 billion. And then there's our old pal, George Soros. George Soros has been putting money in universities for quite some time. Well, he's also started his own university network. He started in Hungary, but he's got one. He and his son is on the board of directors at Bard, B-A-R-D college or university. Basically, Bard University is owned by the Soroses. They're funding it almost wholly. But they've also been funding other universities for a long time, too, because we know, of course, that the whole idea is this cultural Marxism thing. They want to upset the status quo. They want to upset civilization. They want, if you didn't believe in evolution, you probably ought to believe in de-evolution, because that's kind of what they're doing, is funding de-evolution. So the Bard College is a liberal arts college.
Do you know what you can get with a liberal arts degree? a fabulous job at a drive-through window going, would you like fries with that? That's about as good as that liberal arts degree is for.
Boy, I tell you.
But think about it. Thanks to Joe Biden, John Q. taxpayer pays for that liberal arts degree.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Joe Biden. And, you know, that brings us to another mention that was that we were going to talk about. That is, why is canceling student debt a good idea? Does it make sense to reward people who do not honor their financial commitment by taxing people like you and me who do? And if their education isn't worth paying for by them, why is it worth paying for by us?
Seriously, how many college graduates have a major and a minor and go into the real world, not academia, but into the real world and utilize that degree?
I know of quite a number of people.
Doctors, lawyers, maybe those are the only ones.
Accountants.
Okay. But not many of them.
Not many of them. I'm sure that a few of them do, but I know one lady that I knew, she decided to not follow her major, and she decided that bartending paid better. And so she became a bartender. This is some years ago. We know of one young lady who went to film school, and she's not doing that either. She's a dance instructor for little girls.
Yeah.
And it's a worthy thing to do, but the cost of her education.
A couple $100,000 to teach dance.
Yeah.
Instead of in film.
Right.
English lit, French Renaissance, I mean, art. If you're not an artist, and artists are struggling, I mean, nobody pays artists anything.
Right.
So
even if you worked in a museum, how many museums are there to support someone who understands Renaissance art?
None. And those people that are in there that are working, unless they're in the muckety-mucks in the upper echelon, they're making $24,000 a year, barely enough to pay the rent, not enough to pay the bills. You know, they're working two jobs because, and they can't afford to pay their student loan.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Why am I responsible for their student loan when they went to school to get a degree that's basically worthless?
Right.
You talk about a useless eater. Goodness gracious, it's those college graduates who can't get a job in the field that they were so adamant about. Educators, I forgot about that because my wife has a teaching degree.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a teacher for 30 years. But
right.
You know, what's wrong? I know Mike Rowe has scholarships for trade schools.
Right. He's the guy who did the TV program called Dirty Jobs.
Yeah.
And so he's been a plumber and been doing all kinds of these dirty jobs. I haven't watched the show. I've listened to a few of his podcasts, and he has scholarship programs for people, for young people who want to go into the trades, plumbers, electricians, mechanics, air conditioning, other things that are akin to that. And they will come out of this, even if they had to pay their own way. They will probably have theirs either paid as they go, or, you know, they'll have it paid off in a year or two if they've taken out a loan for it. And they will be all the better. Some of these college people, I know of one lady who just got her college loans paid off, and she's in her 60s. But that's what they think that education is so important.
You know, people are going to have cars. And if you have an electric vehicle, somebody's going to have to put the new battery in it.
For $29,000 or $25,000 or something like that.
There was a couple in Canada that had a YouTube video. There was a EV in Canada, and I don't remember what model it was, needed a new battery. $60,000 for the battery, and the car It was $60,000 when they bought it brand new. So how is this recycled?
Where's the logic?
There is none.
Well, that's the other thing, seriously, too. There's no recycling of those batteries either. They just have to bury it. We got one more thing that we wanted to talk about.
Yes, ma'am.
Why is talking sexually in the workplace considered harassment, but teaching it to kindergartens or other young children like that, why is that considered education? You've probably seen in the headlines the mom who was reading from the kindergarten or first grader's book sexually explicit material that they shut her up and told her that she could not read that in front of the school board. And she said, you know, isn't this kind of part of the point? A Georgia school board member cut off a mother reading sexually explicit content from a book available to high school students. Now, this is the high schoolers, but it still doesn't belong there either. Saying that they cut her off telling the mother that this was inappropriate for children to potentially hear. And they said to her, excuse me, we have children at home. This is Cherokee County in Georgia. They told the angry mother after she read the sexually charged passage from the book called Homegoing. The school board member pointed out that the meeting was being live streamed and reading the passage was inappropriate. And the mother said, don't you find the irony in that? You're exactly saying what I'm telling you. You're giving it to our children, and I would never give this to our children. Why is this acceptable? And like I said, they're doing this with kindergartners and stuff. They gave these kindergartners and first graders iPads. They didn't put a filter on them. They did a search for EFFGG on Google and accessed multiple pages with pornography on it. These little children. But that's okay, apparently. But, you know, the Me Too movement and the sexual harassment thing, everybody got up in arms about that.
You know, that died on the vine as soon as transgenderism took a foothold.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
How strange is that? That women no longer matter. Seriously, women don't matter when you've got guys like
competing.
Dylan Mulvaney dressing up as a woman. Leah Thomas, whatever the dude's, nobody talks about the dude's name.
Right.
But it's a dude wearing a woman's swimsuit competing against women.
Changing in the locker room of the women.
There was a woman volleyball player that got seriously injured when a tranny spiked the ball and hit her right in the face.
Uh-huh.
I mean, put her in the hospital bad. So, but the women's sports don't matter anymore. The Me Too movement got shelved because now we got to worry about trainees. And you talk about snowflakes and you talk about a group.
Mm-hmm.
All these people pushing the transgender movement.
Where's the logic?
There is none. Sandra, we have flown through an hour. I want to thank you for coming on and being a guest of Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to be here.
It is always a lot of fun when Sandra and I get together, and I especially love her topics just make you go, hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's Where's the Logic or anything else. They're very in-depth and they're very poignant. And I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it.
And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.